As we continue with the broadcast, PokerFace.com is the website for PokerFace, and great stuff, as usual. But the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Forest Service, melded together, have the international programs, the IP, and we're dealing with right now Russia and Europe, Eurasia and the Middle East, and Bulgaria. They have an overview. They have wildland fire management partners. Well, let's have the overview right now. Located at the crossroads of Europe and Asia, Bulgaria is a country of great natural and cultural diversity. There's that word, diversity. With a topography ranging from the undulating hills of the Troian Plain to the Mediterranean character of the Black Sea coast, to the snowy peaks of the Balkan Mountains, Bulgaria exhibits a rich array of microclimates that provide a home for hundreds of species. Bulgaria's ecological cornucopia boasts 94 species of mammals, 383 species of birds, 36 species of reptiles, 16 species of amphibians, 207 species of fish, and thousands of species of invertebrates, plants, and fungi. Well, gee, doesn't this deal with the Biodiversity Treaty and Agenda 21? You better believe it. It's all over in every country in the world. Agenda 21 and the Biodiversity Treaty is in every country of the world that is a member of the United Nations system. Bulgaria is also one of Europe's most important habitats of the brown bear, the wolf, and the Balkan chamois, and provide shelter for migratory birds traversing the African-European flyway known as the Via Pontica. Protected areas constitute 4.5% of Bulgaria's total territory, and the country's Nature Protection Act safeguards the natural resource base in these areas. Now, keep in mind, this is part of the international partnerships of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Forest Service. With a wealth of natural resources and a relatively stable political history, Bulgaria has achieved important advances in institutional and policy development since the collapse of communism in 1989. Keep in mind, the collapse of communism, predicted by Anatoly Golitsyn in 1984, the book entitled New Lies for Old. Once again, with a wealth of natural resources and a relatively stable political history, interesting, under the guise of the Soviet Union, Bulgaria has achieved important advances in institutional and policy development since the collapse of communism in 1989, and has been spared some of the most severe effects of the armed conflicts that have taken place in southeastern Europe in recent years. As Bulgaria makes strides towards European Union ascension in 2007 and NATO ascension as early as 2004, the pace of privatization and development are placing increasing pressure on natural resources. Balancing economic growth with natural resource conservation will be a major challenge for Bulgaria in the coming years. Under the title Threats to the Forest, about one-third of Bulgaria's land base is forested, with coniferous and broadleaf forests predominating at different altitudes. Afforestation and cautious utilization have increased the country's forested area in recent years, adding about 204 square kilometers between 1990 and 2000. And this is according to the World Bank World Development Indicators. Oh, boy. You don't think we're the UN system, do you? However, Bulgaria's forests remain threatened by the long-lasting impacts of heavy industry and the increasing resource demands of privatization and development. Reeking of the Hegelian dialectic as I interject. Key concerns include air pollution from industrial emissions, river pollution from raw sewage, heavy metals and detergents, forest damage and air pollution, and resulting acid rain and soil contamination from meteorological plants and industrial waste. You need a dictionary for some of this. Why does the USDA Forest Service work in Bulgaria is the next section. This ought to be revealing. What a statement to ask. This is what we've all been asking. Why does the USDA, and that's the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Forest Service, work in Bulgaria? Oh, jeez. People. According to this information, following the severe fire season in 2000, the U.S. Department of State and the U.S. Agency for International Development contacted the U.S. Forest Service to request technical assistance. In January 1, a USDA Forest Service assessment team traveled to Bulgaria. Under funding by the Agency for International Development's Office of U.S. Foreign Disaster Assistance, the team recommended a three-tier approach to building Bulgaria's fire response capacity. Provide basic equipment for 300 initial attack firefighters. That's right, to provide basic equipment for 300 initial attack firefighters. Host a study tour for upper management in Ministry of Defense, Civil Protection Agency, focusing on mobilization, interagency, and international cooperation, and on-scene management systems in the U.S. Provide training to support a focused fire prevention program, including courses in wildfire cause determination, fire prevention, and the basic incident command system. As a result of these recommendations, the U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service is implementing a three-year program to build Bulgaria's capacity to fight wildfires with new equipment, training, and technical exchanges. The U.S. AIDS mission in Sofia, Bulgaria, has provided a total of $250,000 in funding in support of this program. Throughout the summer of 2002, the USDA Forest Service, in partnership with the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, improved wildfire preparedness in Bulgaria by providing operations and safety equipment for Bulgarian firefighters. Where did the money come from? Bulgarian counterparts received 300 sets of protective clothing, 60 handheld radios, 3 radio repeaters, 2 Bambi buckets for aerial firefighting, and 30 Husqvarna chainsaws. Boy, I remember Husqvarnas were one hell of a motorcycle back in the days when I used to do it in the dirt. Now they make chainsaws and lawn tractors. I'm sure they're very well made as well. Made in Sweden, people. Husqvarna. Fabulous equipment. The equipment was consigned to the Civil Protection Agency for onward distribution to the Ministry of Interior, National Fire and Emergency Safety Service. The Ministry of Environment and Water, and the Ministry of Agriculture and Forestry for use during subsequent fire seasons. Well, what about USAID's mission in Sofia, Bulgaria? Well, I'm waiting for that to come up. Let's check the paper under September 11th, Saturday. United Way kicks off campaign. United Way of Central Oklahoma kicked off its fall campaign Friday, pledging to raise, oh my goodness, $14.5 million to benefit 84 charitable groups in seven counties. Hundreds of supporters fill the SBC Bricktown Ballpark concourses for a rousing rally and pancake breakfast. Last year's drive raised $14.15 million, but the 2004 fundraiser is expected to garner even more community support, said Luke Corbett, chief executive of Kerr McGee Corporation and the campaign chairman. Already, more than $3.6 million has been pledged by employees at dozens of paysetter companies, exceeding the $3.2 million goal set for the early workplace drives. Keep in mind, listeners, as I interject, the United Way, a non-governmental organization of the United Nations system. This is the problem that we deal with, people. We don't even know what we have. Every National Football League game has a United Way commercial during that game. And they're all new commercials this year. They're all new. Every NFL football game you will view on television will have a United Way commercial. The NFL and the United Way are what? Non-governmental organizations. That's the way it is. And this isn't coming up for me, people. Oh, shoot. Just what I need. My computer freezes up. So now I have to reboot and start all over. What else is new? Completely changed my direction. Anyway, this article continues. Mike Adams is an Oklahoma City accountant who volunteered for United Way by visiting some of the nonprofits that will benefit from the fundraiser. While eating his pancakes, he said he got to see firsthand how the groups help those in need. Quote, I wanted to be involved in the community and see how some of the agencies operate, end quote, he said. Michelle Thompson was among agency workers that lined the ballpark walkway to greet volunteers and donors. God, this is insanity, people. She held a sign proclaiming thank you in bright pink letters outlined in sparkly stars. Thompson, a social services coordinator at Daily Living Centers, a daycare center for senior citizens and the handicapped. She said United Way funds provide scholarships for people that can't afford services. I think it's outstanding that Oklahomans are so generous, she said. The campaign ends November 19th, and this is the way it is. Out right in your face in Oklahoma, the United Way, a non-governmental organization of the United Nations system that we live under today. Okay. So much is being revealed in the papers that most people don't pay attention to, and that's the sad situation we have today. We believe everything we're told, and here we see AIDS walk hits home for one mother. Should I get into this? I don't know. amid the live music, clowns, and face painters at the AIDS Walk. Next weekend, Christine McMahon will be struggling to keep her smile intact. The annual fundraiser for Oklahoma City's HIV-AIDS organization falls right between the birthday and death of the date of McMahon's son, who died of AIDS on September 28, 1996. So she says this is a hard time of year for us, and certainly it's been chronicled by many or some that AIDS was a creation out of Fort Detrick, Maryland in the early 70s. And that's what we live today. Created crises. Here we see the Regional AIDS Interfaith Network will hold a training session this month for volunteers who want to work with Oklahoma AIDS patients. The training session will be from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. September 23rd at the RAIN office. RAIN, standing for Regional AIDS Interfaith Network. Network volunteers help HIV/AIDS victims in Oklahoma by providing non-medical services like rides to doctor appointments, help with home upkeep, and emotional support. Well, these are all good-hearted people. And it's a sad commentary that we have today that these directions are being put in our face. How do you influence people and individuals that all this was a creation when they're dying of the disease? How do you try and tell them, and what are they going to do when you say that that's the case? We're so deeply entrenched into this. I mean, we had a 20th century of a smokescreen created upon us. My gosh. The world wars were creations. Before that, the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve Central Bank, for all intents and purposes, helped to engineer the crisis of the 20th century, meaning the First World War, meaning the Great Depression, meaning the bankruptcy of this country, meaning the Second World War and the buildup of Adolf Hitler, who, with Japan, signed a pact in 1936 to fight international communism called the Comintern. They had it right. In one respect, you know, at this stage of the game, we live with all this that's created upon us from the past to the point where right now we have people dying of AIDS and you have volunteers working to help and support their fellow man. But those in charge, and who are they? What are they doing but sitting back saying, well, the population is being reduced? I would think we need to get Henry Kissinger in some kind of position to take a truth serum and have an international broadcast of what he has to say about what's going on in the world. Henry Kissinger. Oh, boy. David Rockefeller. Certainly he can't be touched with a 10-foot pole. The Rockefeller Foundation. The Ford Foundation. The Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. These internationalist organizations working towards a one-world governmental system that we're in now. And that is the sad situation that we have today. It can't be denied. It's just being done. It's being done in our face. So, as I said earlier tonight, on September 3rd, Tommy Franks addressed the delegates during the Republican National Convention at the New York Madison Square Garden. And here's Tommy Franks, gosh, giving the communist clenched fist salute. And he even has his right arm outstretched with the closed fist, and he has it off to the left, or off to the right farther. Not straight in front of him, but off to the right. He looks so evil when he does this. I'm afraid I'm going to have to keep this picture for a long time, because this is very, very telling. Tommy Franks, retired Army General Tommy Franks. And it says, Thursday called his commander-in-chief the real thing, a man who has the courage and consistency needed to lead America. Well, we really haven't had a leader in our country for many, many years. They just take orders. And you better have Bush in place, because it's going to get even worse with Kerry. Although I'm told that he'll sign the assault weapons bill if it's on his desk. That's what Tim reported to me. Which stands to reason. The next assault weapons bill will be more draconian. The ultimate goal is to disarm the population. That's under State Department Publication 7277 that I keep mentioning. And that needs to be reiterated, because that's in the U.S. Code. You can research it for yourself. So Tommy Frank says, quote, "I've been with this president in tough, uncertain times," end quote. And Frank's former commander of forces in Iraq and Afghanistan said at the Republican National Convention, quote, "George W. Bush is the real thing. He's the real thing," end quote. Well, what do we know about this real thing, as we've had another Pearl Harbor on September 11th, 2001? Oh, boy. And supposedly on the 28th of September is 1,111 days since that happened. And supposedly the next terrorist event will happen then, by certain people that have made this statement. I don't know. When's the next terrorist event going to happen? It's just been promoted to us that it will happen. And that is the situation that we live with. It's going to happen whether we like it or not. Frank said he's seen courage and consistency in Bush's eyes. The courage to stand up to terrorists and the consistency necessary to beat them. Well, once again, do we have the facts of what really happened on September 11, 2001? Do we really know that there were a bunch of Middle Eastern terrorists on board that hijacked planes, that collided into the buildings, that crashed into the Pentagon? Where are the bodies at the Pentagon? Certainly that is an obvious situation. You know, and I'm sorry I let that one individual talk about an airline hitting the Pentagon. It didn't make any sense at all. No. Anyway, we live these scenarios. We live these created crises. The sinking of the Lusitania to bring us into the World War I. The Pearl Harbor to bring us into the Second World War, of which Charles Lindbergh says, don't get involved. And the Bush family was paramount in helping to support the build up of Adolf Hitler. The Bush family. Hamburg America, spelled with a K, was part of that. It's all interesting, people. It's all very, very interesting. Tommy Franks giving the clenched fist communist salute. And isn't it terrible to have these choices every 4 years of the lesser of two evils? That is the sad commentary that we live today. The lesser of two evils. Okay, UN looks at South Korean experiment. That's been disclosed as what they were doing was trying to... where is it? Evidently, it was explained away as a building project. And so there's no need to cover that piece of information. North Korea, communist country, subservient to communist China. Here we see city chamber reaches out to minorities. What's the city chamber, people? The Chamber of Commerce. What's Project Next, people? Oh, this is incredible. Okay. I rebooted my computer and we're back to the USDA Forest Service International Programs, I believe. Maybe not. Paula Schunauer says she was both excited and suspicious when she got an invitation to discuss diversity, opportunity, and economic growth with the Greater Oklahoma City Chamber of Commerce. Schunauer, who began life as a male, oh my, isn't that cozy? Oh, geez. Oh, God. How can this be in the paper? How sick are we? Have we become, people?
Paula Schunauer. Schunauer, who began life as a male,
said members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered community are usually marginalized in Oklahoma City power circles. Quote, it was incredible to me that an organization like the Oklahoma Chamber of Commerce wanted to hear something that I had to say, end quote, Schunauer said. Oh, God. How incredible is this? Oh. She was one of 1,700 people the chamber invited recently to share their ideas for making Oklahoma City a better place to live. They met over the last 3 weeks to focus groups representing the city's various minority groups, ethnic minorities, gays, college students, young professionals, and entrepreneurs. Quote, we invited literally thousands of people in those areas to come together to find out why are you here? What can we do to keep you here? End quote, Chamber President Roy Williams said. How regurgitatory is this, people? Paula Schunauer, who began life as a male. The Chamber is bringing them together for a final session September 9th at the Cox Convention Center, which already happened, obviously. At that meeting, Chamber consultants will collect ideas and pass them on to a 70-member leadership team, also assembled by the Chamber, but not of the Chamber. This reeks of the United Nations again, people. Quote, we've got all the main minority groups, American Indians, Asians, Hispanics, African Americans, gays. It's a pretty diverse group, end quote, Chamber spokesman Drew Dugan said. Quote, it's kind of strange for the Chamber in that it's not Chamber board members, so it's very exciting, end quote. The leadership team will use the ideas to develop a Chamber strategy to attract, retain, and grow the city's stock of educated and talented workers. To push to embrace diversity is new ground for the Chamber, whose sole purpose is economic development, Williams said at a Wednesday night banquet sponsored by the Viet Youth Today Association. Economic development traditionally has depended on providing companies with access to market, workforce, and raw materials and supplies, he said. Quote, one of those issues has moved to the forefront in recent years, human capital, Williams said. Two of three companies we deal with today, the first thing they want to know is whether the human capital exists in this workplace to meet our needs. Ugh. How diverse is it going to get? Open up your papers, people. You can see the reeking of the UN system every time you open your papers, just about every week of the year. Project Next will continue on the other side.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. What should the true Christian response to the homosexual marriage license debate be? It should be the same response that Christians should have had to marriage licensing in the first place. The very definition of a license demands that we not obtain one to marry. Black's Law Dictionary defines license as the permission by competent authority to do an act which, without such permission, would be illegal. We need to ask ourselves, why should it be illegal to marry without the state's permission? More importantly, why should we need the state's permission to participate in something which the Creator himself instituted? We do not need the state's permission to marry. What if you apply and the state says no? You must understand that the authority to license implies the power to prohibit. A license, by definition, confers a right to do something. The state cannot grant the right to marry because it is a God-given right. Should homosexuals have the right to obtain a marriage license? Let them grovel before their God, the state, for permission to do that which is unlawful in the eyes of the Creator. What should we do? Christian couples should not be marrying with state marriage licenses, nor should ministers require them. Some have said, if someone is married without a marriage license, then they won't really be married. Given the fact that states may soon legalize same-sex marriages, we need to ask ourselves, if a man and a man marry with a state marriage license, and a man and a woman marry without a state marriage license, who's really married? In reality, this contention that people are not really married unless they obtain a marriage license simply reveals how statist people are in their thinking. We need to think biblically. You should not be required to obtain a license from the state to marry any more than you need one to be a parent, which in some academic and legislative circles are currently pushing to be made law. But that is another topic. This free speech moment has been brought to you by FirstAmendmentRadio.com. This program on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio magazine delivered direct to you. Like any magazine, if you don't want to keep getting it, simply unsubscribe by not listening. But you are listening, so now go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there to make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program. Not only should you subscribe for yourself, but you should give extra to help us spread the message of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Don't do Internet? You can also write us. First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Thank you.
Okay, we're back with the broadcast, and certainly I'm going to finish this up, entitled City Chamber Reaches Out to Minorities, from the Oklahoman, dated September 3rd, people. And let's pick it up sort of right here. The leadership team will use the ideas to develop a chamber strategy to attract, retain, and grow the city's stock of educated and talented workers. What are they going to be doing? The push to embrace diversity is new ground for the chamber, whose sole purpose is economic development, Williams said at a Wednesday night banquet sponsored by the Viet Youth Today Association, and I'm sure they're talking about Vietnamese, which is a communist country now, given and directed that way by our State Department and Washington, D.C., That's what happened during the Vietnam War. It was directed to be a loss by those in charge with the UN system in place. Bottom line, State Department implements UN directions. The State Department has the U.S. mission to the United Nations. I continue. Economic development traditionally has depended on providing companies with access to market, workforce, and raw materials and supplies. He said, quote, one of those issues has moved to the forefront in recent years, human capital. Williams said, two of three companies we deal with today, the first thing they want to know is whether the human capital exists in this workplace to meet our needs. And that's another word for human resource, people. Quote, that has pushed us in a whole different direction as an economic development organization, end quote. Schonauer said she will attend the September 9th meeting, which already happened, obviously. Keep in mind, Paula Schonauer began life as a male. Quote, for me, that's going to answer a lot of questions about how serious the community is, end quote, about diversity and tolerance, she said. How do you stop something like this that's being engineered upon us, people? You can't stop it. It's so far gone and so far along. How do we make everyone realize what's being engineered for us and at us? That's the problem. I saved this article to impress upon you, dated Friday, September 3rd. This is another article. I mean, I do save a lot of articles for you because I want to emphasize the fact that so much is being implemented right in your damn papers in every part of the world, most of it coming from the Associated Press. Well, this is dated September 3rd, and it's entitled 2.5 million ordered to evacuate in Florida. Now, that's getting us used to this scenario of weather anomalies and having to be ordered to go somewhere. And FEMA is a second government waiting to operate. FEMA has a friendly face today, but in the future it may not be so friendly. The war on terrorism was by design created a long time ago. I mean, certainly this is talked about by some in the past. Terrorism. Terrorists. And I've never found anyone to define terrorism the way the Homeland Security defines it. What is the definition of terrorism? Who is a terrorist? And who's on the slate to be a terrorist? And when you talk against the government, you can be a terrorist. Now, what am I talking about but restoration of a constitutional republic, which is what we've never lived under. We've never lived under a constitutional republic our entire lives, every single one of us. Because the sunset on the constitutional republic started with the war between the states. That's the bottom line when you do the research. And it wasn't the Civil War, it was the war between the states. More Americans died in that war than any other war in history. It was a terrible time. Terrible. I mean, if you were injured, if you were wounded, you ended up losing a limb. Or dying of gangrene or some other disease because there wasn't enough medical attention out there. I mean, people, to save lives, you have to chop off a limb. Oh, geez. War is hell. Anyone that has ever been in a war will not want to repeat it. Anyone that's been in a war does not want to repeat it. I think of Ira and Moffat, who was in the Korean War, and then he did the Vietnam War, and he knew what the Vietnam War was about, and he knows what the Korean War is about today. But to give such dedication for our country under the guise of patriotism is very, very commendable for anyone to want to do. We've been deceived and manipulated to accept these directions. The Congressional Medal of Honor, the upside-down five-pointed star, right in your face. This is the ultimate in-your-face slap that I've ever seen. The Congressional Medal of Honor. The upside-down five-pointed star. Oh, what a shame. So anyway, you have 2.5 million ordered to evacuate in Florida. Residents and tourists in cars, trucks, and campers clogged highways in the biggest evacuation ever ordered in Florida, fleeing inland as mighty Hurricane Frances threatened the state with its second battering in 3 weeks. Now we have Ivan to deal with today. And the press has covered the fact that this is going to be a continuing thing, as Florida has turned out to be a magnet for hurricanes. So what's going to happen to Florida? It's going to become depopulated. Where are they going to go? Well, when I had to leave California, and I didn't have to leave it, but I felt it was logical to leave, as it would had turned into a third world in California. And I've stated many times in the past, as they don't allow tinted windows on the driver and passenger side of vehicles, you can drive on the freeway, any freeway in California, and you can look around in other vehicles and you can see how third world California had become. This is as a result of being part of the United Nations system. The State Department implements the U.S. mission to the United Nations. I keep harping on this at this point in time because I don't see any reason not to. But how can we stop it? That's the question that has always pondered me and others. I mean, how many knew of the international programs of the U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service? How many knew of the international programs, the IP, until I brought it up tonight? Is there anyone out there that knew of this? Well, under this heading, I've moved to another section. We're not going to go back to Bulgaria. It's too difficult to find it again at this point in time. As I'm rebooted and I'm up, and now we're in disaster assistance support program from the U.S. Forest Service, or the U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service is what they call it now, under the heading of international programs. And they want to make a difference in our world. And here you have it, these weather anomalies in your face, earthquakes, floods, fires, nuclear and chemical disasters, disease, civil strife, and starvation are just some of the disasters that can strike any nation suddenly and perhaps unexpectedly. Ah, yes. The effects of catastrophe fall most heavily on developing nations. But no nation is immune. The people caught up in these disasters may suffer greatly. All too often, thousands die or are injured. Homes, workplaces, and even entire communities are destroyed. And, you know, I feel empathy for this and these people. And I think it's going to happen here, as it's happened in Florida. What has happened in Florida? Mass of refugees leaving Florida for other states. And where are they going to come? And where are they going to go? And how much money do they have to spend where they're going to go? So many people are economically in doldrums and in bad situations. A lot of these people leaving Florida barely have enough money for gasoline, probably. So there's probably a lot of individuals parked off the highways with nothing to do, nowhere to go, no money to finance anything they could do. Their credit cards are maxed out. They can't even purchase any more gas because they've been caught unexpected. They've been forced to relocate because of these weather anomalies. And so we see this situation with the disaster assistance support program from the international programs of the U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service is what they call it now. And we've covered this before, that wars, cataclysms, earthquakes, fires, any kind of outbreak of this direction as a result of can be turned into a World Heritage Site. That's on our website on page 2 of AmericanExpose.com. It's from the World Heritage Treaty of 1975. And this is why weather modification has so much prominence on the front page of the website, and it needs more. And at the bottom of the front page of the website, Darren has a lot of directions for weather modification. And we were going to be doing a weather modification broadcast tonight, but he had, that's Darren the webmaster, had certain responsibilities, and I can't keep him from doing that. There's things that I want him to do on the website. I can't possibly impose upon him to do anything at any kind of rushed pace at all, as he's, I've explained before, totally tied to supporting a family. Both the husband and wife work. The children are homeschooled. The wife finds it very difficult to do. And so, you know, there's a controversy there between homeschooling. And that's not right to reveal this to you, and I'm sorry for doing that, Darren. But my point is that this is one person handling two, actually three websites, his own, sweetliberty.org, and mine now, and a full-time job and homeschooling his family. And problems in the family as well, as far as health with the mother, and pray for that. Oh, man. There's just so few of us doing anything at all to try and make a difference in helping to wake up this country to what we're a part of. And yet, when you wake them up, what can they do? What can be done? We can't even get to the bottom of weather modification being the creation of these hurricanes in Florida. Is there a Soviet program of weather modification being utilized on this country with the blessing of our people in this government, in the Pentagon, in the State Department? Is Russia and this country allied to make this happen in the world? To bring people into sustainable communities around the globe? I think so. I really do. I'm perfectly emphatic about this. I think this is all being engineered upon us and at us and for us by the UN system. That's what they call themselves, the United Nations system. And the United Way is part of it. Research it for yourself. If you don't, believe me. If you do, you will believe me. When you watch your NFL football games, the United Way tied into that. A non-governmental organization of the United Nations. Are people out here paying attention to what I'm saying? Nah. Are people that I've been associated with out here listening? Nope. Is anybody out here in Oklahoma paying attention to what I'm doing? Nope. Is anybody that was associated with me in California listening? Nope. Does anybody care? Nope. This is why Bill Cooper, got up so upset. This is why he shouldn't have given out his phone number. Like I don't. Because I don't want to hear people whine and bitch and complain when I know I can't do a thing about it. And it drove him nuts. And that's why I don't give out my phone number. You can contact me through email, and we can talk that way. But I don't need the aggravation of what's pending and coming. This is why I dropped when I did. I've been on since August 16th of last year, about that time. I was off for a year and a half because I didn't see a reason to be on. Agenda 21 fully implemented after 10 years, under full implementation in many respects, not total, but more and more as time progresses, under the guise of sustainable development. the dumbing down process working its way for so long at so many. And yet, what are we dealing with right here, right now? From the U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service, the International Programs, the IP, the International Programs, punch it in on your search engine now. And the Disaster Assistance Support Program. Well, they talk about earthquakes, floods, fires, nuclear and chemical disasters, disease, civil strife, and starvation, and that comes from weather modification and wars, are just some of the disasters that can strike any nation suddenly and perhaps unexpectedly. And we are not immune from this as well. Although I do believe that they're going to get this done without firing a shot over here because they don't want to destroy the ecosystem. Because they want this to be the personal park of the princes of England and the Rothschilds dynasty. And some have said, and some sources say, that Rothschild of London and Berlin own 52% of the Federal Reserve. I don't know how you can document that. If you do, let me know. We'll publicize it. When did Rothschilds become Rothschilds of London and Berlin? After the Second World War. It went from Rothschilds of London to London and Berlin after the Second World War. What was the scenario for the Second World War? I'm sure England sided with Germany to attack Russia, and then Winston Churchill reneged on Hitler because Hitler was the new boogeyman. Hitler, a member of the Tool Society. Where does that compare to Skull and Bones that Bush and Kerry are members of today? And Father Bush and Grandfather Bush, Skull and Bones. Supposedly to have in their possession the skull of Geronimo, which I've talked about in the past. So here we are with this disaster assistance support program. And what about the cooperative ties? The U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance, the OFDA, coordinates responses to dozens of foreign disasters each year. The OFDA, that's the Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance, the OFDA. Their staff consists of approximately 90 Washington-based employees and a varying number of overseas staff members. Given the relatively small number of OFDA personnel in Washington and abroad, the office relies on outside partners like the United States Department of Agriculture Forest Service or the USFS running out of time here, the USFS to reach the hundreds of thousands of disaster affected people each year. That is a mouthful, people. How many have ever heard of the Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance, the OFDA? Until tonight. And am I wasting my time in discussing this with you and passing it on to you? Am I wasting my time? And if I'm not wasting my time, how come other shows don't do it? How come other shows don't get into these government agencies and expose what's been done and how it's being implemented upon us? I mean, you have the USFS International Programs. Through the Disaster Assistance Support Program, the DASP, provides essential emergency management technical support to USAID/OFDA with full program funding from OFDA, the Forest Service provides disaster prevention, preparedness, and response expertise to the U.S. government. The DASP... What's the DASP, people? Disaster Assistance Support Program. DASP was formally established in 1985 with an interagency agreement, RSSA, Resource Support Services Agreement, between USAID and USDA. The Forest Service, because of its extensive emergency response capability and experience in wildland and forest firefighting, was recognized as having unique capabilities and resources that would be applicable to any type of disaster, e.g. logistics, aviation management, telecommunications, disaster preparedness, and planning, coordination, and training. Weather modification, people, keep it in mind. Do the research on weather modification and see what you come up with. Are these created crises to bring us around into the UN system? Absolutely. The Disaster Assistance Program Team, DART, that's the Disaster Assistance Response Team. DART system, used by OFDA, was developed by the Forest Service for International Disaster Response. The DART concept is based on the Incident Command System that is used by domestic agencies to fight wildfires and coordinate responses to disasters and emergencies. This is why we have the Global Fire Monitoring Center on the front of the website. Who found that? I found it. I'm not proud of that. Who found the Biometric Consortium? I found it. And who else has it on their website? Those two items. Nobody. Where's the information going with this? Nowhere. That's the problem we have. There's lack of communication, lack of spreading the information. And in summarizing this, the DASP uses a pool of technical resources, personnel and specialized equipment from the Forest Service, USDA, and other land management agencies to support OFDA in the aforementioned activities and by establishing critical linkages with Forest Service field units, OFDA, and federal and non-federal organizations working in the international disaster arena. Public-private partnerships, people. The insanity of it all. Where's it going to stop? It's not going to stop. And who's going to get involved in helping to restore this republic? I don't know what to tell you, listeners. I'm open for your suggestions. You know my email address. It's on the website, AmericanExplosé.com. I don't know what to tell you otherwise. And, God willing, I'll be back tomorrow night to help with this, and maybe we can take some phone calls, maybe. Until then, plenty of research to do, and I hope that you'll do that. Good night.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs,